You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
This week, an essential element with a split personality. Here's David Reed.
Sodium, like most elements in the periodic table, could be said to have a dual personality. On one side, it is an essential nutrient for most living things, and yet due to its reactive nature, is also capable of wreaking havoc if you happen to combine it with something you shouldn't. As such, sodium is found naturally only in compounds and never as the free element. Even so, it is highly abundant, accounting for about 2.6% of the Earth's crust by weight. Its most common compounds include sodium chloride, or table salt, its solid form halite, and as a charge balancing cation in zeolites. Aside from being an essential nutrient, the story of man and sodium is said to begin all the way back in the time of the pharaohs in ancient Egypt, with the first recorded mention of a sodium compound in the form of hieroglyphics. It is difficult to describe a pictogram through speech, but imagine a squiggly line over the top of a hollow eye shape, over the top of a semicircle, with a left-facing vulture image next to them all. This pictogram meant divine or pure, and its name is the root of the word natron, which was used to refer to washing soda or sodium carbonate decahydrate as we now know it. Sodium carbonate was used in soap and also in the process of mummification thanks to its water-absorbing and bacteria-killing pH control properties. In medieval Europe, however, sodium carbonate was also used as a cure for headaches, and so took the name sodonym from the Arabic suda, meaning headache. It was this terminology that inspired Sir Humphry Davy to call the element sodium when he first isolated it by passing an electric current through caustic soda, or sodium hydroxide, in 1807. This process is known as electrolysis, and using it, Davy went on to isolate elemental potassium, calcium, magnesium, and barium by a very similar method. Chemistry teachers often confuse children when they tell them about chemical symbols. Whilst ones like H, N, C, and O all seem perfectly logical, abbreviating sodium to Na seems counterintuitive at first. However, if we consider the word natron, we can see clearly where the abbreviated form came from. When isolated in metallic form, silvery white sodium is a violent element, immediately oxidizing upon contact with air, and violently producing hydrogen gas which may burst into flame when brought into contact with water. It is one of the highly reactive group 1 elements which are named the alkali metals. Like the other alkali metals, sodium has a very distinctive flame test, a bright orange colour, from the D-line emission. This is something you will have seen in all built-up areas in the form of street lamps which use sodium to produce the unnatural yellow light bathing our streets. This effect was first noted in 1860 by Kirchhoff and Bunsen of Bunsen burner fame. Almost all young chemists will have done a flame test at some point, and sodium chloride is a popular choice. Unfortunately, the intensity of the colour is such that if any of the compound is spilled into the Bunsen burner, it is cursed to burn with an orange speckled flame seemingly forever. The reaction of sodium with water is a favourite demonstration, and clips of it abound on the internet. Sodium and its compounds have applications so diverse it would be impossible to mention them all here. A couple of examples include the fact that sodium is used to cool nuclear reactors, since it won't boil as water would at the high temperatures that are reached. Sodium hydroxide can be used to remove sulfur from petrol and diesel, although the toxic soup of byproducts that is formed has led to the process being outlawed in most countries. Sodium hydroxide was once common as a paint stripper, while it is now used in biodiesel manufacture and as a key component in products which remove blockages from drains. Baking soda actually contains sodium, it's in the name, and its chemical name is sodium bicarbonate, where I'm sure you've come across it in baking, where it undergoes thermal decomposition at above 70 degrees Celsius to release carbon dioxide, which then makes your dough rise. It is as an iron, however, that sodium really becomes important. An average human being has to take in somewhere around 2 grams of sodium per day, and virtually all of this will be ingested in the form of salt in the diet. Sodium ions are used to build up electrical gradients in the firing of neurons in the brain. This involves sodium and its big brother potassium diffusing through cell membranes. Sodium diffuses in and is pumped back out, while potassium does the reverse journey. This can take up a huge amount of the body's energy, sometimes as much as 40%. I'd like to end with a brief story which highlights the dual personality of sodium. One man bought 3.5 pounds of sodium metal from the internet and spent the evening reacting it with water in various shapes and sizes while he and his friends watched from a safe distance. The party was apparently a success, but it certainly doesn't suggest that you host your own. The following day, when the host came outside to check that the area where he detonated the sodium was clear, he noticed that it was covered in swarms of yellow butterflies. After doing some research, he found that these butterflies had an interesting habit. The males search for sodium and gradually collect it, presenting it to their mates later as a ritual. So that sums up the two faces of sodium. Its violent reactive nature contrasted with its use by amorous butterflies.
That was Southampton University's David Reed with the two-faced chemistry of sodium. Now next week, the chemical equivalent of train spotting.
It's easy to accuse the scientists who produce new very heavy elements of being chemistry's train spotters. Just as train spotters spend hours watching for a particular locomotive so they can underline it in their book, it may seem that these chemists laboriously produce an atom or two of a super heavy element as an exercise in ticking the box. But element 114 has provided more than one surprise, showing why such elements are well worth investigating.
And to find out why element 114 is worth the effort, join Brian Clegg in next week's Chemistry in Its Element. Until then, I'm Meera Senthilingam, and thank you for listening.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.